don't want to block the third fangirl. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
We're hoping that you're hearing us because we switched hosting providers. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I'm Mandy of Denison, Maine.
And I am Karen of Foxfire. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi.
As we said, we have switched hosting providers because of some fun behind the scenes things.
Corporate greed, that's why.
Pretty much. Our hours allowance went down and our price went up. Make it make
So we
sense,
were
guys.
they wanted us to pay more for less.
Yes,
And when
exactly.
we emailed, when Karen emailed, they were like, but it's really bringing a lot to our customers. And we were like,
Not us.
not us. We're your customers and it's not doing a lot for us, but okay.
So here we are, and we're hoping we just transitioned, so we're hoping that everything is working correctly.
Let us know. Let us know if you can hear us.
How would they do that if they can't hear us?
They won't. We won't hear anything if they can't hear us. But if they are hearing us and they say, hey, confirmed, we can hear you. You see?
My brain hurts.
If
Anyways,
people can hear this and they tell us they can hear this, then we know that it's heard, that
Yes.
it
Okay.
worked.
Great.
That's where my brain was going.
Correct. Yes.
Your brain was
Okay.
going out in the clouds.
I think I'm just like suffering from mild heat stroke or something. I don't know. It's just hot. Okay. Anyways, in our timeline, it is September 4th, and in y'all's timeline, it is September 12th. Mandy is almost on a cruise. I'm very mad at you. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. My brother is getting married in a month, which is going to be insane. I don't get it, but here we are. We have this joke in my family where it's always the second child that gets married first. And
Oh.
good on him for continuing this tradition.
Well, we have a joke in my family that the youngest of two is batshit crazy, so thank God I'm the oldest. It's a long-running family tradition.
That's funny. I like that. All right. This week in fangirling, what'd you do?
Okay, so first I have some updates because I read this again. I read The Living and the Dead. I made a lot of notes and I had a bunch of sticky notes. And when I went back through, like I have some notes in the margin too. When I went back through, I would take them out and that's how I knew the thing was done. So final edits are done, except for I keep like, what if I, in the acknowledgments, like I accidentally, the version you have probably has a spoiler in the acknowledgments where I was like, what if somebody reads the acknowledgments first? They're gonna know the ending.
Oh.
Let me fix that. Last night I woke up and like made myself a note to immediately
Quick
go in and fix
question
it.
to listeners. Do you read the acknowledgments before you
I
read the
don't think
book?
people do, but just think it would be my
No.
luck that
No,
somebody
I
would be like,
know.
oh,
I'm like legitimately curious though, like because I feel like most people just don't read the acknowledgments at all.
true. I read them because I want to know who made the book happen.
I read them all the time. The only time I don't is if they're not read in the audiobook because audiobook. I'm not physically, yeah. But I'm curious. I'm just curious to know if
It
because
would be my luck. I would be
there are
cussed
some,
out
I
by
mean,
somebody. Because I
there are
said, like,
people.
what happens?
Yeah. Well, there are some people. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. But there
Yeah.
are some people who read like the last page of a book or the like last chapter of the book before they start the book. And so I'm like, do people do that with the acknowledgments too? That's curious. That's a
Yeah.
good.
I was like,
Yeah, no,
something
my
about, like, I
anxiety
hate that
would.
blank had to blank
Yeah.
and blank had to blank. And then I was like, I just changed it to that ending.
Yeah.
For
I can see, I would have that exact same anxiety for sure.
yeah. So final edits are done. They are loaded into IngramSpark and Amazon. ARCs have gone out. Like people are actually reading it. And that is the scariest thing I've ever done. This is the scariest thing. Like I feel like it has to feel like this has to feel like what it feels like to be holding your newborn. Like something you worked at really hard and it's a part of you. Moms don't come for me. I know. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's not like giving birth. But like this is something I created that I put a lot of work into.
Yeah.
and I have a lot of pride in.
A lot of
So it's
blood, sweat,
very
and
cool.
tears.
Yes.
A lot of anxiety. A lot of, yeah, no, I
Yeah,
can
a lot
see
of
it.
fear.
As a mother, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Not trying to say, you know how some people
The,
get, no,
right.
I
I mean,
know.
the birthing of a book is obviously different than the birthing of a
Yes,
child,
thank God.
but the actual like creation part of it,
The way you
the
feel when you
way,
look at a thing is like, this is something I made and it's cool.
yes.
I have a press kit as of today because Karen bullied
You're
me.
welcome. Listen, I told you this. If Dahlia Adler's legacy is that she reminds authors to update their websites, mine, I want it to be that I remind authors to make press kits for their websites.
Well, joke's on you because now you have to remind me to update my press kit when this is no longer forthcoming and when it's out in the world to take the date off because it won't be needed anymore.
Watch me set a reminder right now on my phone for October 13th.
Hey, hope you're having a great day. It's time to go in and fix your press kit.
Update your press kit.
I love it. And an indie bookstore wants to stock my book. So a friend of mine who lives in Montana is an ARC reader. She started reading it and she said, I'm going to a bookstore tonight. I'm going to a book club at my local bookstore. I'm going to tell them about this. And when she got back, she messaged me and she was like, they're very interested in stocking it. Reach out to them. I've been talking to them. My book is going to be on the shelf of a bookstore, not just like my bookshelf, your bookshelf, like people's book. A store is going to have this without this little banner, but the store is going to have this on its shelves.
That's so exciting.
My sister was like, you guys need to fly out there to take a picture. And she was like, surely flights to Montana can't be that bad. It's not like that many people are going to Montana. I said, I think that's where Yellowstone, like the show and all of
I
that,
feel like that's accurate.
is
I don't
filmed.
geography, but I feel like
I
that's
don't
accurate.
either.
I would like to
So,
show you that it is officially on my phone.
yay!
There is
Thank
a
you.
reminder. It's gonna
I
happen.
told you today, I literally would not survive without you. I don't know how I would function. How do people function without a Karen? I have no idea.
Well, they
I have
can't
no
have
idea.
me.
No, she's taken.
I'm
Get the fuck
taken.
away. Back up. Back up. So yeah, lots of fun and exciting, lots of work. Who knew that the admin side of writing the book would be just as, if not more, strenuous than the actual crafting of the story? Oh my Lord. So I've spent a lot of time again with this book and with my laptop. But over the weekend, when I was laying there trying to go to sleep, I put on With Love, Megan, season two. We all know by now, I ride hard for Meghan Markle. I'm pretty sure Meghan Markle's in the acknowledgments of my book. I am like fairly, let me put my eyes on it. I
I
am
would
fairly
believe it.
certain she is. Meghan
Yeah.
Markle's in the acknowledgments of this book. I
I
love her
believe
that
it.
much. It's same as the season before, just her and her friends in this cozy little trillion-dollar cottage in Montecito with her dog Gus at her feet, which Gus has unfortunately passed away since filming, but he lived the best life. He was a shelter dog she got when she was like single, and it was just her and Gus, and he rode to her royal wedding in the car with the Queen of England. So
Oh.
Gus had a great life, don't worry. It's just like a cozy little warm hug. I write at dawn for her. I have no notes. People hate her and I don't understand. Every time she comes across my like a news article or something across my socials, I look at the comments and it's nothing but hate for her, and I don't get it. They're like, she
People
seems
are just
disingenuous. She seems, fake. And I'm like, she seems like the most, when people are talking to her on the show, her whole demeanor is in listening to them. Like, she asks the most thoughtful questions, and she's like, her whole body language is, I'm listening to what this person is saying. They are my sole focus. How is that not genuine?
Yeah. It's, I
Oh.
mean, it's always the hateful people who don't do shit like that. So they
Right.
have to spread that.
Exactly.
Again,
So,
misery loves company, and they sure are miserable.
especially around her,
Yeah.
and it's awful. Anyways, I'm not done with it. I've just been like putting it on in the background. If I'm like doing my makeup or something this weekend, I put it on. Okay. And then Josh and I binged The Institute. Have you heard about The Institute?
I don't think so.
Okay. It pisses me off that people haven't heard of it. The only reason I heard of it is because Ben Barnes is in it. And Like, I love Ben Barnes, so I keep up to date on what Ben Barnes is doing.
Right.
But it's so stupid. It's on an add-on. So you have to have Amazon Prime, and then there's an MGM Plus add-on. So it's an
Okay.
MGM Plus exclusive show. So you have to have two subscriptions to get it.
Is there not an MGM Plus just streaming service?
Maybe. I know that we got to it through Prime, and then it was like, oh, if you want to watch this, you have to pay $7.
That's interesting. Yeah, I feel
There
like
may
there
be.
are
It's on file.
I feel like there are add-ons. Like I think you can do like Paramount Plus add-on from Amazon. So like I
Yeah,
think
I guess that makes
there's an
sense because I can
option.
do that through Verizon too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you don't have to have two streaming
Not
platforms. That I'm
necessarily.
less pissed now. But it is MGM Plus. It's based on a Stephen King novel and it's Ben Barnes. Need I say more?
Wait, you watch something based on a Stephen King novel?
I'm my
You.
mother's child. Yes. Oh yeah. My whole family are Stephen King people. I
I was
don't
like, that
necessarily
feels.
read his stuff because it's scary.
That's what I was like. I feel like that's too scary for you.
You should read 11/22/63 though. I read that and that's good. That's the one where they're like trying to go back in time to prevent the Kennedy assassination.
Oh,
It's really
okay.
good. But I love the Kennedys. Jack Schlossberg. Oh. Don't make me think about Jack. Anyways, okay, it's got Ben Barnes. Unfortunately, he's not a slutty little villain in this show. So
Rude.
that kind of takes it out of it. And he's putting on an American accent, which he struggles a little with. I could tell Josh was like, I think he's doing great. I guess because I listen to Ben Barnes so much that I know when he's doing a great job talking and when he's struggling to talk.
Valid.
So he plays Tim Jameson, and he's a cop who leaves his job for reasons. And at the beginning of the show, he's hitchhiking and he gets picked up by a trucker who's carrying books, like big boxes of books. And she says, if he'll help her like load and unload, she says, I'm going all the way to Denison, Maine, and I can drop you off at the public library there. That's as far as I'm going. So he says, okay. So the first like montage you get is Ben Barnes carrying around boxes of books. Name something better. Name, like, I could watch that for hours. Name a better thing to watch on, to put on your TV than Ben Barnes carrying around books.
Oh my
All my favorite
goodness.
things. If there'd have been a dog there, shut the fuck up. Dead. I'm done. So he, being a former cop, he goes to the police office or police department and he's like, hey, you got any jobs? And they say, actually, we are looking for a night knocker. So a night knocker is basically like a watchman. Back in the day, they would go around to all the businesses and knock and then like check the door to make sure all the business is locked up. Then they would just patrol for anything strange. They don't carry guns or anything. They're just like a patrol late at night in small towns. So then we also have Luke, who is this 14-year-old kid who at the very beginning of the show, he's doing like SATs with like kids, you know, 3, 4 years older than him, and he like aces the test. And so it's like sets up that he's like a genius. He's like a mental prodigy, super genius, super smart kid. So he goes to bed one night and he's kidnapped. And he's like, this is the scariest thing ever. Well, then he wakes up in his room. So he's like, oh, it was a dream. So he gets up and he like goes to go out into the hallway and he opens the door and it's not his house. He's in like this clinical, like sterile environment that's just like concrete and windows and tile. So he's like, what the fuck? And there's this girl and she's like, yeah, you're in the institute. You've been taken because you're really smart and you have abilities and you have to do what the adults say. So the adults, there's three adults that are running the show. They're like, you're now part of a super secret classified mission. Everyone who's ever known you, ever known a thing, everybody in your third grade class has had their memories wiped of you. They don't know you exist anymore. You're gone from the outside world. You don't exist. All of the kids in the institute have these super high IQs and apparently access to supernatural abilities. So telepathy, telekinesis, things like that. They start out in the front half, and once they test well, once they get to the point that the adults say they're good, they get moved to the back half. Kids in the front half never see what goes on in the back half, but they're told you do the back half, you graduate, you go back to, you go home, you go home. It's Stephen King. We know better than that, that the kids are
That's
not just
my worst nightmare. Everybody I've ever known just erased. I'm just
forgets you
erased.
exist.
That's
Yes.
terrifying.
It's the scariest thing ever.
Terrifying.
And it's like we were both watching, and some of it is like, this is so fucked. Like, this is so, his mind is a scary, scary place.
I'm just like, that has so many just ripple effects. Like, imagine if I was a race, what the there the whole there's a whole podcast. What happens with that? What happens with anything that, like, anything you've ever t like.
Anything you've ever done, if you've ever written like sidewalk chalk on a freaking sidewalk,
I can't. That's
like, and somebody saw it, that memory is now gone. And
wild.
did that
That's
change their
terrifying.
day, you know, and that, and then
Right.
their life,
And
and
my
how like one
God.
person not being there.
That's wild. That's
Anyways,
terrifying. I
yeah,
don't like
it's
it.
fucked. It's scary. So Luke, and there's like four or five kids in the front side at any given time, front half. They kind of, he's really smart. Like, he's like the smartest one they've seen. So they start to hatch a plot to like get out. I obviously can't tell you why, like, how Luke and Ben Barnes meet
Enter,
up, because
yeah.
it ends up being like how they interact, because it would get into spoiler territory. Thankfully, even though the show has not been marketed at all, it has been renewed for a season two. So,
Okay.
like, it leaves off at a good place, but there is a lot more that
Yeah.
could come from it. So, like, it's not like an insane cliffhanger
Yeah.
either, but it's 8 episodes. It is a psychological watch, I will tell you. And there are times where it's like, oh, I
I
don't
don't
like
know.
it.
I don't know if I could handle that. Just like the thought of just, oh, especially as
And
a
see, that's
parent.
not even like a major plot point. It's just kind of like throwaway, like, they
That
don't
I can't.
remember you.
I could never. I the just
Because
the
the kids don't even, once they, it kind of like takes all of the air out of their life when they're like, my parents don't know who I am. And so the kids just kind of blindly comply with a lot. And
Yeah.
like, the tests are like, you know, we'll strap you to this thing and we want you to look at a screen. And if you see, tell us if you see some dots. If you look away from the screen once, we'll slap you. If you look away from the screen a second time, we'll shock you, like with a taser thing. There's one, you shouldn't watch the show, actually.
I don't think I can.
Trigger warning, there's a lot of child death that's referenced. And then there is like a little kid who comes in who's like 7, which that kid is really super cool, but it's really, you don't watch The Institute.
I
Yeah,
can't.
it's not for you.
No. I'm like having heart palpitations just thinking about it. Oh,
Yeah, that
no.
show is not for you
No,
at all.
thank you.
But it was for me because it had Ben Barnes in it.
Valid, valid.
And then I read Dan and Green Gables, which we will talk about later. And I think that's all I did this week. What about you?
I read a lot and I have notes this time. Go
Yay! Look
me.
at you go.
I read The Sword of Summer by Rick Riordan, which is book one of the Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard series. So you have Magnus Chase, who is a homeless teen boy. On his 16th birthday, he finds out that his uncle and cousin are looking for him, so he decides to like go running. Away in order to break into the home of his other uncle, the one that his mom has had always told him to stay away from. Teen boy logic, I don't know. I don't get it.
That's fair.
He gets caught breaking in by his uncle, and they end up having to run for their lives because something comes to chase them. Through a series of events, Magnus ends up dead. And wakes up in Valhalla. Surprise, he's a Norse
Whoa.
demigod. due to another series of events, he ends up breaking out of Valhalla in order to return to Midgard, aka Earth, on a quest to find his Norse godfather's sword in order to stop Ragnarok. Chaos ensues. It is very Percy Jackson, but with Norse gods instead of Greek gods. And it took me until well into this book to
Oh, God.
realize that his cousin Annabeth is Annabeth freaking Chase from Percy Jackson.
I love you. You're pretty.
At least I'm pretty. But it's Rick Riordan. It's a great time. Like,
Yeah.
especially if you love the Percy Jackson series, it's really fun. And I just know Annabeth is coming back around. I feel it. It's gonna happen. Yeah. It's gonna be great. I read Verity Vox and the Curse of Foxfire by Dawn Martin. You have Verity Vox, who is a witch in training, and part of the witch's training is that they're sent to a new village or a new town every year in order to give that town whatever like witchly assistance they can during that year. And it helps them like build up their skills and that kind of thing. Unfortunately, once their year is up and they are meant to move on, everybody forgets them. It's just kind of a side effect of the magic. A wit like people, normal people can't remember witches until they're like full witches and not just witches in training kind of thing. They don't get like an assignment. Like there's no quorum of elders or whoever to tell you, hey, this is where you're gonna go next. They just have to look for signs as to where they're meant to go next. And Verity's sign comes in the form of a leaf that her familiar Jack B. Nimble, who is a cat. Oh, he shapeshifts, but he takes the form mostly of a black cat. So it comes in the form of a leaf that Jack brings to her, and on this leaf are the words, "We are cursed, help us." And so Verity finds her way to the town of Foxfire, a town that is very weary of witches and of the help that Verity has come in to offer them because they have been burned in the past by Earl, who would have offered them help, but it always came with a cost. Think of like Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time, kind
All
of thing.
magic
All
comes with a
magic.
price, did it?
Yes, exactly that. So over the course of this year, Verity is supposed to stand in Foxfire. She slowly kind of weasels her way into the town and the town people's hearts and like starts, helping them and befriending everybody, and really tries to figure out how to end this curse. And it is very much, it's super cute. It's very like Kiki's Delivery Service vibes meets Appalachian legends and folklore kind of thing.
Ooh.
And I really enjoyed it. I'm hoping because it's got like so much buzz around it right now. It hit the New York Times bestseller list in this first week, that there will be sequels and follow-ups and whatever, because I'm convinced that this what if you were if Don had been querying this book to find an agent, he would have put it's a standalone with serious potential because it really does have serious potential. And I think he's been marketing it as like this is a queer alternative to the other wizard book that we don't want to talk about. And it's so cute. I love it so much. And he definitely left it open at the end for there to be more adventures, whether with Verity or somebody else in the same world. So I'm very excited.
Very nice.
I'm also meeting him on Saturday because he is coming to Linden Tree, so I'm so excited. Yeah, it's really fun. I read Hazardous to a Duke's Heart by Sabrina Jeffries. So first, you need a little history lesson before I go into the synopsis. In 1802, there was like a brief peace between the British and the French during the Napoleonic Wars. And during that time, British citizens were like, oh, we can travel to France again. But a year later, Napoleon was like, just kidding, we're not friends anymore. Any British citizens that are currently in France are going to be interned. And so British citizens that were in France at the time were like locked up or sent to like camps and prisons and things like that. So that is the history lesson. That is part of the plot of this book. So this
The hair
book,
is like haunted.
It's the fan. I know
Oh.
it. You forgot I have a fan.
I did.
I have a fan. Thank God. Okay, so this book picks up basically, it starts at basically like the end of the Napoleonic Wars, and the interned British, who the French called them détenus, they are being let go. They're being released. They're not being like helped go back where they want to go, but they are allowed to do what they please. So they can go back to England, they can stay in France, whatever. So, and this is after like 11 or 12 years of them being held captive in France
God.
because of Napoleon. So a lot has changed in the time that since they last were in England. So we follow one of these détenus, Lord Jonathan Leighton, who was he was never the heir or the spare for his father, who was the Duke. But now that he's returning home, he's inheriting, not only is he re returning to a London that he like is not familiar with because it's been over a decade, but he's also inheriting this dukedom that he was not prepared to inherit. Like, he was not supposed to inherit this place, but alas, here we are. He has a lot of guilt over the death of his mentor during their captivity, and his final promise to him was to make sure that his mentor's daughter was to marry well, because of course that's what men, fathers in the 1800s cared about. He is very determined to keep this promise, even if it means that he has to make up a fake inheritance that her father has given her and make one of the conditions of receiving that inheritance that it goes towards a dowry for people for her to get married. Obviously, he would be using his own money to do that. Unfortunately for him, his mentor's daughter is now his younger sister's governess, and she's super hot, and he's got the hots for her. Victoria, who she has absolutely no interest in getting married ever, it's not in her plans. She does not care. She does not want this. All she wants is to open an art school for women. And once Jonathan tells her of like the inheritance, she's like, I could use that to open my school. And he's like, no, you have to use it for your dowry. And she's like, WTF. They enter into an agreement in which she will be a part of society, attempt to find a match for the rest of this season and just this season only. And if she doesn't, she will get that money to use towards her art school. But Jonathan, in turn, has to learn art from her during this time. So she teaches him, and she also has to go into society and all of that. And of course, romance shenanigans ensue, as they do. And I will say, we have all heard me say in the past that I am not a historical romance girly, and we have also heard me say in the past that I might just be a historical romance
I think
girly.
you're a historical
And
romance
I would
girly.
just like to state for the record one last time that I do believe I am a historical romance girly.
Yes, I
The
think you might be
yearning
right.
is just top notch.
Next
Like,
level.
nobody yearns like a man in a historical romance, like
No.
truly. Like, oh, so good. It was a fun time, and it's the first in like a series of interkinetic standalones, and I can see exactly where it's gonna go because he had like friends that he returned with, and so I suspect that's where we're going. We're gonna follow them around. I read A Cat Cafe Christmas by Cody Gary. You have Kara Ingalls, who is a vet and one of the owners of Meowin' Forever Cat Cafe, which
Oh
is a
my
cafe,
God.
which is a cat cafe that is also a cat rescue that helps like foster kitties until people come and get them their forever homes. Unfortunately, they've got a lot more cats than they do customers, and she really needs to turn things around or else they're not making it through the holidays. Enter Ben Reese, who is a marketing guru who ha is not at all an animal person. Like, not just not a cat person, not an animal person at all. They have a bit of a neat, cute disaster when Kara is trying to go to work and she shows up and she runs into Ben, who is just standing there looking at the cafe that has a line going like down the block. And Kara's like, what is happening? This is not normal. And Ben's like, oh, we wrote a feature piece on you and offered XYZ for people who go for this. And she's like livid because she's like, these people are only coming for this giveaway. They don't care about the
Yeah,
cats.
those cats are gonna get dumped.
That's all she cares about. And he's like, how dare you not be, you know, grateful for the free publicity we've given you. And so they butt heads right away. Things do not start well. But then Ben finds a cat in his house while he's doing renovations, and the only thing he can think to do is go to Meowin' Forever and beg Kara for help. Because all of the other pet rescues are like closed at the time. He's like, I don't know what to do. And so He ends up fostering this cat while she tries to find a more permanent place for it, while she finds a more permanent foster because they don't have any more room at the cafe.
Yeah.
And they stay in contact because of the cat, but also because Ben ends up helping her with like some home issues in her home, and they become friends. And obviously, he gets attached to the cat, and romance shenanigans ensue. It's so much fun. It's super cute. It made me want a cat, even though I'm very allergic to cats.
Aren't
And
you?
I'm not like super allergic, but like if cat dander gets anywhere near my face, I get like
Half of my household is like that.
when I first found out I was allergic to cats, my like eyes were so swollen, like that I it was it would have been dangerous for me to drive. Like it was not
Gosh,
good. But
that's how
like if
Josh
they're
is.
like if they're like in the same room with me, that's fine. I just can't like get it to
And
this.
that's how one of the twins is. Like, and
Yeah.
she loves them, so she's like,
I do too.
I
I know. I love cats, but
want it.
yeah. It's super cute. You know those videos where it's like POV, your dad was adamantly against keeping the stray cat, and then it's like just the dad
The dad
snuggling
who
with
didn't
it.
want the pet. There's nothing like the bond between a dad and the pet he didn't want.
And that's Ben. That's Ben. Like he did not want this cat. He was not a pet person, an animal person at all. And yet, in walks Chaos the kitten, and it's so cute.
You're done, buddy.
Also, Kara is like our sister in anxiety, especially in like large crowds that are overwhelming. And it was just so nice to be like, oh yes, I also do
I'm
that. Thank you.
seen.
Thank
I'm
you so
seen.
much. Something Borrowed by Emily Giffen. Before I give you the synopsis for this one, I want to make it very clear that I do not condone, nor would I ever imitate anything that the female main character does in this book. It's very important that you know this because we have Rachel who finds herself in bed with Dex after too many drinks on her dirt at her 30th birthday party. The problem is that Dex is her best friend Darcy's fiance. Hence my
Girl.
very important
Yeah.
statement at the beginning. Okay, so now in her defense, Darcy is toxic as fuck. Like truly awful. Though Rachel has never really seen her as such, like at least not very actively, just kind of passively like, oh, that's weird, that's not whatever. Until this little thing happens with Dex, and now she's starting to realize like, oh no, she's actually like not a really good friend.
Yeah, she kind of sucks.
But she is still, because she's a good person, she's horrified by what she's done, and she's determined to make it up to Darcy by being the best beta moner that she could possibly be. And it's like, it really starts off as like, this was just a mistake. This was a one-time thing. It's never going to happen again. It was a mistake. We're never going to do it. And very quickly transforms into like a full-blown affair. And honestly, truly, the whole time, you do not feel bad for Darcy at all
Ever.
because of her behavior. And which, yes, you are seeing everything through the lens of Rachel's POV, so it's gonna be a little bit biased, but like it's also like if I were to see somebody that I'm friends with, it's okay, it's like in Mean Girls, right, where Regina is like, oh my gosh, I love your bracelet, and then the girl walks off and she immediately turns to Katie and is
It's the
like, that's
fugliest
yeah,
bracelet.
it's like that. It's like Regina George. If you had seen Reg if Darcy was Regina George, like
Yeah.
that's who you see her as, kind of. So like, yes, it's a terrible thing to do for somebody who is supposedly your best friend, but also
Yeah.
like you don't feel bad for Darcy. So yeah, does that make any of what Rachel and Dex does okay? No, obviously it doesn't
No.
excuse it, but I also really could not muster any sympathy for Darcy, especially once it gets to the end and like this, I feel like this isn't a spoiler because you have to know that Darcy's gonna find out eventually. Like, that's just how the
Yeah.
book has to go. So like once you get to the end and you like Darcy finds out and you find out something about Darcy that also like makes you feel even less sympathy for her. Like, that has been happening throughout this whole book that you just don't know because it's told through Rachel's POV. And so it's just like, yes, this is not something that you should ever do,
Right,
but
but it couldn't happen to a better person.
yeah, these fictional characters, man, whatever. This was a reread for me, because I read it in like my late teens, early 20s, I want to say. And I remember liking it. And I'm happy to report that I feel like it still stands up to that.
Okay.
And I think I might even enjoy it a little bit more because I've also read there's a second book that follows Darcy after
I
all
think
of
it's on
this.
my shelf somewhere.
Yeah. And so like you I know what happens with Darcy post all of this as well. And so like I feel like that I don't know, maybe changes
Helped.
it a little bit. Yeah. There is also a movie adaptation of this book that stars Jennifer Goodwin as Rachel, who played Snow in Once Upon a Time, and then Kate Hudson as Darcy, which she can play
I love that
to
you thought
me.
you had to explain Jennifer Goodwin to me.
But it wasn't to you, to
To
anybody
the listeners.
else.
Okay.
Some
Yeah.
people don't know actors' names.
Yeah.
I mean, Kate Hudson, everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
So Kate Hudson as Darcy, and then Colin Egglesfield as Dex.
No, I don't know who that is.
I don't know if I know him from anything, but he's got one of those like super generic attractive white men faces that you'll
Yeah,
be like,
okay.
"Oh, he looks really familiar," but you would never be able to place him. Like that's what
What's
he
his
looks
name?
like.
I want to look him up while you're telling
Colin
me.
Egglesfield, like egg LES field. So yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen him in things, but I
Right?
could not give you one
Exactly.
single
Like the most
one.
generic attractive white
Yeah.
man face
Yeah.
ever. Like it's always
Everybody's
going to be like,
grandma
I
has been hot
know.
and bothered by this guy.
Okay. So then I read Mixed Signals by B.K. Borison, which is the third book in the Lovelight Farms interconnected standalone series. This one follows Layla Dupree, who is one of the partners of Lovelight Farms, and she is also the baker who runs the bakery at the farm. After a string of bad dates, she is basically given up on love. Her most recent bad date not only dined and dashed and left her there,
Barf.
but he also stole the silverware from the restaurant as he was leaving.
Tomato, tomato.
And also, he drove her to this restaurant, and it's like an expensive Lyft ride away from the town that she lives in. So like, very bad date, right? Luckily for her, Caleb Alvarez was at that same restaurant with his family celebrating somebody's birthday, and he was very happy to drive her home because it means he can leave the celebrations early. He does not want to hang out with his family. He loves them, but they're a lot. So during this drive home, they're talking about their dating woes, and Caleb blurts out that they should date as like an experiment, like an arrangement, so that Caleb can show Layla how she should be treated because she's been dating asshole douchebag guys like this nonstop, and he's like, you deserve better than that. And then Layla can tell Caleb what's wrong with him so that he can like date someone for more than two or three dates.
Yeah.
And so it's a 1 month, no strings attached dating, but they are exclusive to each other. They should not be dating anybody else during this time. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, right? Except for
Course.
the fact that it's very clear that Caleb has had a crush on her for forever, since like book one, probably before book one even started. Like he has had a crush on her for a long time. And there is just this like quietly simmering chemistry that is just, it's delicious. And they very much did not consider that before the entering into this arrangement. It's truly so adorable, and also like so frustrating, especially during the story beat in the third act, because as we know in romance, there's either a conflict or a breakup in the third act.
Yeah.
That's just one of the story beats of a romance. And it's not even like miscommunications. It's truly all about personal insecurities and like nothing else. So you're really just like sitting there, like screaming at them to like, think better of yourself. Like, get
Stop.
it
Yeah.
together. Like, ugh. It's so frustrating, but it's so good. The Darkening by Sun Yamara. This was another reread because I wanted to finish the duology, but it's been 2 years since I read this book, so I remember nothing at all. Storygraph reminds me that I read it in August 2023, so I probably talked about it on the podcast, so I'm not going to talk about it again because I've already talked about a lot of things. So we're moving on to The Possession of Alba Diaz by Isabel Cañas. You have Alba, who is adopted into this family, and her parents are getting ready to like marry her off, and she's like, absolutely not, I refuse. So she convinces her like childhood best friend, Carlos, to propose to her so that they can be engaged and get married. Because now her family can't really say anything because his family owes her family a lot of money, and so he's like, oh, you're not gonna call in debts on your in-laws, and they're like, oh, that would be yeah. So it's a whole thing, and so they end up going to this mine where Carlos's family either owns or is like part owner in or whatever, and she meets Elias, whose father was, I think, one of like the owners of the mine, and so now he's passed away, and he's come to basically make XYZ amount of money and then leave so that he could get out of there. He does not want to be anywhere around. But things start happening. Somebody dies, and Carlos, or no, Elias gets blamed because he has like a criminal history, and Alba's like, no, she goes to the priest and she's like, no, it's not him. I can tell you for sure it wasn't him because of XYZ. And so the priest is then like, okay, bet. And it goes and is like, y'all, this is not it. And I mean, the possession of Alba Diaz, like it says it all in the title. You know where it's gonna go. And so it is like low-key romance because of Alba and Elias, but also like horror because ooh, things are happening and demonic possession, and it's just
That's not for me.
it was very good.
I scary.
It's scary, but it's good. She Isabel is really excellent at this just horror. Yeah, it's so good. And also Dan in Green Gables, but we'll talk about that shortly.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I do. I really, really do. It's Caleb fucking Alvarez. My God, this sweet little yearny cinnamon roll. I cannot. I cannot. I just. BK Borison knows how to write him. Like, this man. This man. And I know we love the morally gray, like, villain, but, like, God, I love a cinnamon roll so much. They're just so sweet. And when they yearn, and when you can see them yearning, and when
It's my
she
favorite.
doesn't know, she's clueless, and he's
It's my
still
favorite.
just, oh, so good.
Secretly waiting in the wings for her to
Just
notice
so good. So, yes,
him.
Caleb Alvarez, how about you?
I watched a show with Ben Barnes this week. Do we expect me to say anybody else? I
I mean,
mean,
if you
it's
did, you'd been body snatched. Like,
God. No,
come
it's
on.
Tim Jameson from
The
The
Institute.
Institute.
You're welcome.
I have nothing to complain about. And I know I said it before, I can't say how he gets around everything for the show, but he's a sweet baby angel. I'm okay with the fact that he's not a slutty little villain in this.
We don't want to typecast him. That's fine.
Well, they always laugh. Like, the running joke with Ben Barnes is like he played Prince Caspian, and then he was like, no, I'm a slutty little villain. And he was a slutty little villain in The Punisher, and he's a slutty little villain in Shadow and Bone, and that's like his role is the
Yeah.
slutty little villain.
But he just has the bone structure for it.
The range. He really
Like
does. He has the
he like
face of like the bad guy that like
right. He has a face for a slutty little villain. Like, yeah, no, I feel
Like
that.
the man needs a cloak. He needs to be in a
Just
cloak.
yeah.
Just cloaking around,
100%.
swooping around corners.
Exactly. 100%.
Them
Cosign.
canceling Shadow and Bone robbed me of that, and I think that's
That
really selfish.
is selfish. I'm sorry.
I
Was
had to
that
send the twins a TikTok the other day because somewhere, I'm assuming it had to have been in England, they did a like game night with the cast of Shadow and Bone. And so one of the twins is a Kaz Brekker girly. And so Freddie Carter was there just like playing Jenga. And they're over there playing solitaire with Jesper. And then Ben Barnes is there. She was like, you mean tell me I could have played some Jacks with Kaz Brekker? Yeah. And I could have played the game of life with the Darkling. But we're in America where everything's awful all the time.
awful. It is awful
So
all the
unfair.
time.
It is so unfair.
That's the next movie. Instead of Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's Everything's Awful All at Once, all the time.
America edition.
America. Oh my God. Oh.
Anyways, Tim
Okay.
Jameson, Ben Barnes, I am but a girl. I am who I am. I can't.
Yeah, I feel you.
And I want Dan to be my fictional bestie.
My God, I love Dan. He's so fun.
Yes.
He's such a sweetheart.
I want Mama to be my fictional grandma. I just lost mine, okay?
Oh, Mama. I love
My like
Mama.
southern grandmother who would sling around in the kitchen and make like southern grandmother food. She just died. I want Mama. She's my fictional grandmother.
Yeah, I feel you. Look, now we both have fictional grannies.
Yay!
And
Look at us
you're, wait,
go.
and yours is Southern and mine is Chinese. That was on accident.
Oh, weird.
That was totally on accident, but it works really well too.
That is so weird.
Yay. That sound means we have an intruder
Oh, I'm
alert.
so excited for this
Me
intruder.
too. Today we are talking to Rex Ogle slash Ray Terciero about Dan and Green Gables. We're so excited to
Whee!
have you here. This was so much fun. Thank you for being
Oh, thank
here.
you so much.
All right, so the first thing we always ask is, can you give us like the elevator pitch of the book for anybody who hasn't heard of it?
Oh, it's Anne of Green Gables with a boy.
It's pretty
No,
simple.
it's basically Anne of Green Gables if it took place in the 90s with a queer boy whose mom drops him off with grandparents that he does not know, and basically the grandfather is not a fan of his queerness.
I mean, yeah, you did a great job in the
Yes.
Bible Belt in the Deep South. Like, yeah, it's a great time for Dan. I need to know like what the writing process is for a graphic novel because I feel like it has to be similar to writing like a traditional novel, but then not at all the same either. So what goes into that?
Well, here's the thing. I was an editor for 15 years, and I feel like I learned over the course of that time how to do it right. Because I used to just sit down and write a book with an idea in my head, but with like no direction. And I can't tell you how many times I'd write like 100 pages and be like, where is this going?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got to hand it to the teachers back in middle school and junior high. Outlines. Oh my God, an outline is so important. I start with like a little outline, like a paragraph, and then it grows and it becomes 2 pages, 3 pages, 5 pages. Then it becomes like 10 to 15 to 20 pages. And I always send it to my editor because they're the ones who are going to have notes. And I make sure that they approve everything in the outline before I write it. Because once I write it, oh my gosh, it's such a nightmare to go back and change things. So usually if I get them to approve the outline and then I write it and they're like, well, I was like, no, we approved it. It was in the outline. Although to be fair, sometimes as I'm writing it, things change. And then when the editor's like, well, this changed. And I'm like, but it's better than the outline. So
Please let
yeah,
me. I know what I'm doing, I swear.
I do. So the outlines take forever, but then sitting down and writing, it just kind of flows out of me, which is always cool because the characters basically write themselves.
So with a graphic novel, most of what we see is just like the text on the page is words or thoughts.
Yeah.
So are you like,
Dictating?
yeah, like what exactly, I mean,
So,
obviously you're writing, but like
yeah.
what goes into it? Like,
It's kind of like a movie or a TV script.
oh,
Like you go
okay.
through and you write, this is what's happening in this scene and this is the dialogue. This is what's happening in this scene. This is the dialogue. The difference is that I think is a little harder is you're also the director. So you're not only giving like setting cues, but also visual cues. And on top of that, the trick to, in my opinion, a good graphic novel or a good comic book is that every single page or the 2 pages is oh my gosh, my brain just stopped. A
Glad it doesn't just
cliffhanger.
happen to me.
There's like a little mini cliffhanger at the end of each spread. So you want to turn the page. And also all the action should always move from left to right so that it's drawing the eye to turn that page, turn that page, turn that page. Yeah. So there's little
That is
tricks of
so
trade that I
smart.
picked up. But yeah, the artist, when they get a hold of the script, I mean, I want them to just have fun with it. I don't want them to be miserable. Like, if I'm like, do you like dragons? Because I'll put a dragon in the book. Or they like cats. They like dogs. I'm like, well, let's get a dog in there. Like, I want the artist to have fun drawing it.
Yeah, for sure. It's a
I
collaboration.
mean, the art in this book is insane. There's one point, I think it's the first feast that Mama
Oh
makes.
my
I'm like,
gosh. Yep.
I am Southern. My
Yes.
grandma cooks like that, okay?
I saw
I'm
that
like,
and
I
was
want to go to
ready to get up and
grandma's.
like go eat. I was like, this is
Yes.
mouth watering. Like,
I
my
did.
God.
I was on the free lunch program as a kid, and like we were really poor, so I didn't always have meals. So I noticed that in all my books, there's always food. I love food. Food is
Yeah.
great. And so yeah, I also think that, you know, certain foods will resonate with people. Like Mandy, you said you're from the South. So
Yes.
yeah, you know what biscuits and gravy are like.
Heck yeah. I just made some biscuits and gravy last weekend. I was like, I'm hungry. I could do this.
Oh man, I love it. What is how collaborative is it with the artist? Like, once you've written your script, you just hand it off and say you
Yeah.
go, or do you like, are there steps or parts where you get like maybe sketches and give
Yeah.
feedback kind of thing?
So with every artist, it's different, but typically I give them the script. They do sketches or pencils first, and then I go through there and, you know, give them notes because, like the outline, like they want to do the least amount of work at the back end as possible. So I'm like, in the outline, I'm like, I try to give all the notes up front, and then they go to inks. And then either they do their own colors or they pass it off to a colorist and then it becomes lettered. But yeah, you know, and with some artists, like they'll hit me up by text and be like, I'm having problems with this, or I can't visualize this, or I have eight ideas. Which one do you like the best? And then some artists, like, don't talk to me at all. So
Oh,
I'm
God.
like, to each their own. I want everyone to be comfortable.
Oh, my gosh. I love
Oh, I love
that.
that. Well, speaking of comfortable, we're going to talk about something that's not comfortable at
Oof.
all, and that is the Southern Baptist Church. I did not grow up Southern Baptist. I'm Episcopalian, and we loved everybody.
Oh, I love that.
But I'm in middle Georgia. I grew up around Southern Baptist churches, and so you would go with your friends when you had a sleepover or whatever. And when I say that you hit the nail on the head, I always have like talk about how I have been to like a Southern Baptist church on Mother's Day where they're like, ain't moms great, but if you're gay, you're going to hell. But celebrate the moms. They're like, they always had to throw in that threat for anybody who was different.
Of
And
course.
so you've gotten it so like right. You did it so well. How emotional was that though? Having to write these powerful scenes where it's like Dan being treated awfully in a church.
I always get a little choked up when I write scenes like that. And I mean, like, if I write like an emotionally difficult scene, like afterwards, like I'll walk downstairs and be like, "Where's the wine?"
Please.
or I'll start crying, and my husband will be like, "Oh, did you write a hard scene?" And I'm like, "Leave me alone! I want
No.
by myself with the dog." Yeah, I mean, writing this stuff is emotionally taxing, and it's so funny because like when I sat down to write Dan and Green Gables, like I knew there were going to be emotional parts, but I was like, I've written memoirs that are like really like emotionally devastating to write and to read. But I feel like I still bring in all that emotion. Like, because I mean, my grandparents were from Tennessee. The relationships that Dan has with his grandparents in the book are very much the relationships I had with my grandparents in real life. So yeah, it can be emotional.
It's
I
hard.
bet. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, after reading like the author's note and then finding out that he's in Tennessee, I was like, "Oh no, this is gonna hurt."
Yeah.
We just had a friend who moved from Tennessee with her wife out of there because they're like, "We don't feel
Yeah.
safe." And I'm like, "Oh gosh, this is gonna hurt. This is gonna hurt real
Yeah.
bad."
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, I've got boxes of tissue sitting next to me, just like, oh God, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why do I do this to myself?
It's a wild place to grow up,
It is.
for sure.
I
I
bet. actually have a question for y'all.
Oh,
This is
okay.
a question that just popped in my head that I don't think I've ever asked someone who's interviewed me before. So, not to turn it around on you, but what do you think of trigger warnings? Because,
Big fan. Love them.
yeah.
I love them. Yes.
Okay, because in
I,
one of my
yeah.
books recently, I was like, "No, it spoils the ending." And but they were like, "But you kind of need it." So
I
I'm
think,
like,
yeah,
so on the fence. But what do you? Yeah,
it
what do you?
lets people take care of
Right.
themselves.
I think if it's nice to have it there in a space where if somebody knows that something is going to hurt them,
Yeah.
like they have a trigger, then they have the opportunity to read that, whether or not it's a spoiler. Like I think it's more important to take care of each other than it is to not spoil a story, if that makes sense.
That is, you know what? That's a really good way to look at it. I think it was just in one book because it really, like, I didn't want anyone to see something coming, but it is a very devastating moment. So,
Yeah.
it's and it's one of
And
those
people
things
are going to
people.
seek it out no matter what.
Right.
Like, I read a book recently that it did have content warnings, but it just said animal death. I can't do a dog dying. Like, I don't have it in me. And I like sought out until I could find someone who had read that book recently and asked them specifically because I was just not going to read. So I went and looked for it anyways. So if you have them there or if you don't, people who have triggers or content that they want to avoid, they're still going to go find it and they'll still spoil it.
And
And
it just
people who
makes
don't
you,
have triggers cannot read that
they can just
part.
skip it. Yeah, if there's nothing that's going to hurt them, they can just skip it and be fine.
There is a trigger warning in Dan, so
Yes.
yes.
Yes. But yeah, no, that's a great question. I feel like it gets brought up a lot in bookish spaces, and I don't know. It's weirdly divisive where I'm like,
It is. That's why I wanted to
yeah,
ask you
but
all.
I'm like, I don't know. I care more about people's mental health. I'd rather
have the scene spoiled than be blindsided by a dead dog. Like,
That is fair. I don't think I could deal with that.
yeah.
I
There are
avoided
times,
John
yeah.
Wick for a long time because someone told me that's what happened
Oh,
in the same scene. I
I
was like,
can't. I will never.
I'm good.
There's a
I'm
website, the best website on the internet. It's called doesthedogdie.com. And
Shut up.
movies, TV shows. If a dog shows up on screen, I look at it and my husband knows. I'll just get up and walk out of the room and he's like, "Well, that dog's not gonna that dog's
I'm
not gonna
best
make it.
friends are
She's
with
gone to
the
bed."
cats. Oh my gosh,
Oh.
they can't. They can't. And that movie, there's a movie recently on Netflix, and it's like so traumatic with the cat, like the whole movie.
Oh yeah.
I
Okay,
can't
so it's not just dogs. It's like it's called Does the Dog Die? But it'll say like, does an animal die? And people can leave like a comment that says a horse at this minute. Does someone break a bone? Does someone, is someone sexually assaulted? And it like gives common triggers so that people can see if they can watch the movie or not.
That's
Yeah.
so
I
amazing.
want to make that for a like books, like a website, but I don't know how. I'm not that tech savvy, but like I would love to make a database where it's like, yeah, you're safe to read this book. Or no, don't do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so derailed the conversation.
No,
Apologies.
it's a
This
good
is great.
conversation. It's like an important conversation to have, quite
Yes,
frankly. I think,
yes.
especially nowadays, like people are just doing so much to like shock others and then people get hurt. And yeah, so I think it's a great conversation. But returning to Dan.
Yeah, I want to say that Mama is our fucking queen. I love her.
Love her.
Can you talk about her just so I can give her a little attention because I love her so much.
Yeah, so she's kind of a mixture of two women in my life. The first one being Peggy June, who was my real paternal grandmother. And then after she passed away, this was such like a it was such a her thing to do. Like she got cancer, she knew she was going to be going soon. She wrote a list to my grandfather and said, "These are the women I want you to marry in this order so that you're never alone." And they were all women from the church. And he did exactly what she said. He married the next one. And then when she passed, he married the next one. And that one was Ruby, who's the other person who Mama is based off of. We call her Mama Ruby. And Mama Ruby has known me since I was born because they all went to the same church. So, and she's still alive. She's still kicking. She's like, whoo, she's getting up there. But oh man, she is still out there in the garden every day picking vegetables and fruit. And she's like,
Oh
oh man, my hillbilly relatives come from hardy stock. My great grandmother lived to be, I think, like 103. I mean, she had a big doll that she carried around and thought it was her baby. So she wasn't all there, but she did kill a chicken every day and eat
My
it.
grandmother, she passed recently, and she had a baby doll too that we just were like, that's right, that's your baby, you're good. She slept with it every night, so she was not all there, but yeah.
Whatever brings
Southern
a comfort.
grandmas, man.
Love it.
Has she read Dan? Like, does she
So,
know?
yes, she actually called me and she just went off about how much she loved it. She was like, "Oh, Dollywood." Because here's the thing is that where my dad is from, Sevierville, is right next to Gatlinburg, which is like all in the Smoky Mountains where Dolly Parton grew up. So
Yeah.
I like went to Dollywood when I was 6 or 7 for the first time. That's imprinted on me. I love it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I had
I've been to Dollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had
Yes.
absolutely
The
no clue that
best.
it was like that mu like
Yeah.
I don't
It's
know.
not a small thing.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
is it's
Yeah.
so cool. That is
I've
so
also been
cool.
in the room with her, which is the craziest thing ever. I
Oh.
mean, I didn't like get close to her or
What?
get to touch her, but
Yeah.
we took my mom to see 9 to 5 at the
Yeah.
Fox in Atlanta 1 year, and like it's over and everybody's like getting their bags and everybody starts screaming and I look up and Dolly is standing on the stage and it was like,
Yeah.
do you do?
Oh my
Not
gosh.
gonna lie,
Sharing air.
one of my favorite movies and one of my partner's favorite movies of all time, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I'm from Texas, so it's, I mean, it hits all the right places for me. Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds,
God, yes, sold. Oh
the
my goodness.
What's not to
I
like?
listened to her it was like Behind the Rhinestones little memoir she did a couple years ago as I was like doing a home improvement project and it was like literally sitting there listening to like your best friend's grandma tell her life story. Just that accent and like I don't know,
Yeah.
just the way she talked. It wasn't like she was reading. It was like she was just sitting there telling you all of
Yep.
her stuff.
And every
So
time I
good.
talk to my relatives in Tennessee, that's exactly what they sound like because that is the county
Right.
you grew up in. It's crazy.
I always love to like not to get insane, but people bring up how like billionaires should exist, and I'm like, no, they shouldn't, because Dolly could be one, but she's not, because she's a good person and she gives all her money away.
I mean, her book program is insane. It's like
Oh my God.
every single kid in Tennessee gets a book. No kid goes without a book. I'm like,
Amazing.
if I had
Incredible.
money like her, I would 100%.
Yes.
I'd be like, I'm going to one up Dolly. It's going to be 2 books.
Hey, oh shit. Watch out. She's like the gold standard. If you ever like people say like what would Jesus do? What would Dolly do? Do that and you're on the right path. Do what Dolly would do.
WWDD.
W W
I
bigger than
should make that
DD,
into shirts.
but
What would Dolly do? I
yeah.
love making my own shirts these days. So fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
I just made one with Dakota Johnson's quote where she took down Ellen. She's like, "No, Ellen, that's not the truth." I don't know if y'all have seen that clip, but
Where she the
okay.
better birthday party and
Yeah.
Ellen's like you didn't invite me.
And she's like, "Yes, I
Yes,
did."
I
Oh my God, I
So
love
good.
that so much.
Oh my God.
What was the inspiration for you to write this story? Like why? I mean,
Yeah.
I read through it all. I know why Anne of Green
Yeah.
Gables, but like what was
What
the
about
kind
Anne?
of
Yeah.
what was
What was
the
it about Anne?
So for me, growing up, all the books I read were, white people. And I'm, half white too. I'm also half Mexican. I'm also queer. I also come from poverty. And I didn't feel like there were a lot of books that resonated with me as a kid because that's what I wanted. So instead, I gravitated towards sci-fi and fantasy because I was like, there's no books that represent me. I'm just gonna go over there. But then my abuela was always pushing me to read classics. And every time she handed me a classic, she'd be like, find something in it that you find special. And so when I became an author, I write books under my own name, but I started writing books under Rey Terceiro, which she called me because it means third king in Spanish. And I'm Rex the Third. Rex is Latin for king. So third king. So Rey Terceiro. But all those books are classics that I take and I retell them modern day graphic novels, young adult. And yeah, they all have like a queer, diverse, modern twist. And Anne in Green Gables was like obviously going to be in there because I read it when I was fourth grade, and we were moving from town to town, moved like 4 or 5 times. And I had a copy of Anne and Green Gables that basically I stole from the library because my mom didn't let me return it when we moved. And so while Anne was trying to find a home, I was trying to find a home. And so it was such a deep love story in my life that now I'm writing, Dan trying to find a home. And yeah, I think that's a story that we all have been through at some point in our lives.
Yeah. And that's
That's
so special to know, like, it was part of your, like, that's part of the core of you. Like,
yeah.
those are like, I don't really remember what you call it, but like the things that like make you who you are, like the pop culture and the books.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I have to apologize because I've never read Anne and Green Gables.
Oh,
I meant to
it's
before
been a
I read.
long time for
I
me,
meant
a
I really
long
meant
time.
to before I read Dan because I love like knowing the lore kind
Yeah.
of especially like retellings and reimaginings, and I just got distracted and ran out of time. But I will. It is on my list.
I will be perfectly honest. I have not read it since fourth grade. Part of my thing when I'm rewriting these classics or reimagining, is I don't want to steal too much. So I basically rely on my memory to retell the
That's a good
story.
idea, though.
And it's so funny because a few people have been like, "Oh, you did that wrong." And I was like, "No, that's how it happened in the book." And they're like, "You're misremembering that." And I was like, "Oh,
You're like,
well,
well,
that's
it's not
okay because
supposed to
that's
be
what I
B for B.
remember."
Yeah. It's not a copy, guys. I did my own thing.
Yeah,
Yes, it's a
I stole
new
it and I changed
spin.
it and made it my own.
Yeah, I
So
did that on purpose.
you've also done Little Women and Northanger Abbey.
Yep, Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen.
Northanger.
North
Sorry.
Little Women, Meg Jo, Beth and Amy. Technically for middle grade, I did Donya Quixote and Swan Lake Quest for the Kingdom. And then yeah, because I guess with my middle grade, I do fantasy rather than modern contemporary.
Yeah.
But I do have a bunch of stuff coming out that is so excited about. Should
Can
I
you
give you
talk
a
about
spoiler?
any of
Yeah,
it?
of course. One of them is the Odyssey Long Way Home, and it's anthropomorphic. So Otis, short for Odysseus, is a mouse. Woo! Because I grew up on like Five Will Goes West and so this is like I'm doing Odyssey, which is one of my favorite books, but I'm doing it like an American tale with the mouse as the hero. And it's so fun. The artist has been drawing it for 5 years. I love you, Joe, but please finish soon. I want
5
it. I
years.
want it so
Oh my
bad. And he just turned
gosh.
in pencils. So we're still waiting for inks and colors. And so
Oh my
excited.
God.
But coming out next year, or maybe the year after, is Count of Monte Cristo High, which is a gay revenge story. Woo!
Oh, I
Oh my
love that.
God. This is so exciting. yes.
I
And
love a good reimagining.
then there's a
Yeah.
series I can't tell you all about that comes out in 2029. Jane Austen. Shh.
That's my
Okay, don't
favorite.
mention that to anyone, y'all.
I love it.
Oh, wait.
That's,
This
oh
is a
my God.
podcast.
That's wild. That's so far out, too. Like,
I know. I know.
2029.
So, do graphic novels usually take a
Longer?
lot longer?
It depends on the project. It depends on the artist. It depends on, I think there's a new technique that publishers are starting to figure out, which is if they stockpile a story, then they can release books every 3 months rather than once a year. So it becomes like a streaming service. Like you get it rapidly rather than having to wait long periods of time
Right.
and lose interest.
I get that.
I have noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that
Do
you
you? I mean,
say
like
it out loud.
Dungeon Crawler Carl, Lore Olympus, Heartstopper. I mean, yeah, they're getting all this stuff on the web and then they're just pumping it out. And
Yeah.
I mean, it's a smart business model, that's for sure. It
Makes
becomes a
sense.
talking piece.
Do
Keeps
you,
people hooked.
when you're going into something, do you already know the artist that you're going to be working with, or does that come after?
Depends on the project. Some like with the Odyssey Long Way Home, like I met Joe Casanova like 15 years ago, and I was obsessed with his artwork, and I was like, please work with me. And I just stalked him for a while until he finally caved. And then our first pitch didn't go anywhere. And then a few l years later, I pitched him Odyssey. He did these amazing sketches, made me cry a little bit because they were so beautiful. And yeah, we got the Odyssey under contract. So, I mean, that's the thing. He's taken a while, but oh my God, is his artwork
It's
beautiful.
worth it in the end.
Oh, I love
It's
it.
gorgeous. So with him, I chose, but with different projects, like I came in with Count of Monte Cristo High and Dana Green Gables, not knowing who I wanted to work with. And like, I found some people who would be cool. Then the designer found some people who would be cool. We compiled the list and then, reached out. We're like, are you interested? Can we afford you? Do you have time? So that's always a factor too.
That's really cool.
That is
There's
fantastic.
things you don't think about when you're like holding a graphic novel, like, but
Yeah.
all of the hard work that goes into it from so many different perspectives to
Yeah.
get this end result.
Truly,
Yeah.
I never thought about it until literally just now talking
Yeah.
to you. I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
wait, I want to know about this.
And I will say this, and I'm not poo-pooing on anyone else's art for their graphic novels. I'm 100% not, but there are artists who can draw so fast. And their art is more like vague, more emotional. Usually it's like watercolor. And then there's like artists like Dave Velezza, who I'm working with on a graphic novel series called, well, it's Four Eyes Pizza Face, Fruitcake. And his art is so lush and so detailed. I'm like, Dave, stop drawing the backgrounds. And Joe is the same way. And Claudia was the same way with Dan and Green Gables. I'm like, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I was like, but just draw faster.
Yeah.
I'm just impatient though. I mean, because
The
at the end
chicken's
of the day,
detailed enough.
Yeah,
what
that's
Claudia did is like, I mean, she drew every leaf in those pictures, and I'm like, oh, I love you so much.
I love
She did
it.
do a really good job.
Yeah, it's
She did.
beautiful.
She did.
Okay, we don't want to keep you. We do want to keep you forever, but we're not going to keep you forever. But we do have a couple of questions that we always ask. One of those is we have a segment on the podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. It
Ooh.
doesn't have to be a boyfriend. We just pick a character that week that it was a character that we really resonated with. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son, fictional friend
Uh-oh.
groups. Do you
Yeah.
have any fictional characters, books, TV, movies, whatever, that you were like, that is a character that everybody should know?
Oh.
And this is a
This
moment
is where
where
every bit of
everything
media leaves your brain.
X-Men. I
What's
love
a
the
book?
X-Men. Oh, what is a book? No, X-Men. I grew up on X-Men. I love X-Men. I wanted to be an X-Man. Like all through puberty, I was like, "Where's my mutant power?" Like I would try to bend spoons with my mind, for hours, and it never worked. And I was like, "Come on!" It was very frustrating as a young person to not have superpowers, but. Oh my God, yeah, I love the X-Men. And there's a lot of bad stories, but if anyone needs to hit me up, I will give them a list of the good stuff. There's some great X-Men stories that are really emotional and heartfelt.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, especially what for, I mean, for a group of people who are outcast from society, like
100%.
gonna be a
Yeah.
lot to it.
They protect a world that fears and hates them.
Yeah,
And the
they're
White Queen does it looking good. So
awesome. I saw
there's.
an argument where people were actually arguing a lot of cishet men. What
Yeah.
white men more than anybody else, but who would win in a battle between Batman and Superman versus the Scarlet Witch and Jean Grey?
Scarlet Witch and Jean Grey, 100%.
There's not a competition. They're
No
dead.
competition.
It's done. It's
None.
over. What? Those
None.
men
In
are
fact, I'm sorry. The Phoenix or Scarlet Witch could do it on their own. And the only
Yes.
one could sit there painting her nails and be like, yo,
Yes. You did it.
Not even
no.
break a sweat, man. Are you
And they
kidding?
were arguing.
Oh
Yep.
my
What are you
word.
talking about?
Wild. Wild.
Love it.
Oh
Love
my
it.
goodness. Okay, so not kind of along the same lines, not quite, but the other question we always ask is what are you reading? What are you recommending? What do you think that
Favorite
everybody should
books.
consume at
Oh my
some point?
God. So y'all are the first ones to hear this. I actually just started a book club on Astore.com, which is RuPaul's book site for, and
Woo!
they're all queer
I
graphic.
love
They're all
Alstora.
queer book clubs. And I'm the first one to have a queer graphic novel book club. And my very first one is
That's a
here,
good
dude.
one.
It's so good, and I'm so excited because it's going to be for Banned Book Week. So I'm
Oh,
about to
that's
reread this, but
perfect.
what else am I reading? Because I'm reading a few things. I'm reading Dungeon Crawler Carl Book 3. It's so, or am I on Book 4? Maybe Book 4. It's so, I mean, it's so good, but there's so many of them, and they're coming out so fast. And then I'm also reading a bunch of X-Men omnibuses because X-Men.
That's valid. Very valid.
Very
Yeah, I
nice.
love that. Okay, so this is the part where we give you a little bit of bad news. We're not sorry about it.
Bring in.
But now that you have been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're going to
It
be seeing
was.
me a lot because I have 3 to 5 books coming out every year for the next like 7 years. I've
Do
got
not threaten us with a good time.
Right.
And those are just the
So.
ones with traditional publishers because I'm working on something else that I just plan on. I don't know, maybe put it. I was just going to put it online for free, but now I'm like, should I just podcast it? Like every
Oh.
chapter is a podcast? I don't know. Maybe I'll
Oh,
be hitting
that's
up
cool.
y'all for advice.
Yeah. Karen is like a she's like I said, she's the brain cell over here in this operation. But yeah.
I'm
I don't
just
know. That
very
would
neurotic about things.
be cool. Karen has the cat ears, which I adore, but you have like a very real microphone, which I'm very jealous of.
I'm married to a filmmaker. So I went when we started the podcast and I got like a little $20 mic at
This
Target
little
and he walked in and it was the very book boyfriend moment. He was like, "Not my wife. Get in the car. We're going to Guitar Center." And he had to like I have a whole studio lighting set up.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's and
It's
see,
like no wife of mine.
that's all her husband's doing. Like she was
I would still be
happy.
using my little Target mic.
Awesome. Well, I enjoyed
Yeah.
that bad news, so thank you.
Yeah.
I apologize because the bad news is I'm writing a lot and you're gonna have to, but luckily for you, most of them are graphic novels, so you can read them in one night.
It's a good
Love
time.
it.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
My
Love
it's
it.
funny, my daughter randomly came in and she's like, "Mommy, I'm reading the graphic novel of Anne of Green Gables." And I'm like, "Girl, I
Hey,
haven't even read Anne of Green
that's
Gables.
a good
Why?"
one.
And it
Oh,
was very cute.
skip the original and read the graphic novel. I can't remember who wrote it, but I'm looking at it. It's
But
just
she,
far
yeah,
away.
no, she's like, she was really excited about it. And then she saw Dan and she was like, "Mommy, can I read it?" And I was like, "I have to read it first. I have to interview. I've got an interview." And then
Yeah.
I got to the end and I was like, "Wait, I can't give her this. She still believes in Santa Claus."
Oh yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Maybe
Give
in
her a couple more years.
a couple
Yes.
years.
Yes.
She's getting close. She's 10, so she's getting
Okay.
close to like
Yeah.
Santa Claus, she'll know. But like,
Yeah.
I got to the very end. I'm like, damn it. I was gonna hand it off to her when she got home from school, but now I'm
Yeah.
like, oh. But
Awesome.
soon, soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love.
Well, all right, everybody. Dan in Green Gables is out now. You can go pick up a copy at your favorite bookstore.
It's
It's so good. It's so cute. This art, like, it's so pretty.
insane.
It's
So good.
wild. It's so
Like
good.
the food in it is gonna like I'm kind of mad that I did not have like some Southern grandma cooking
I'm
because
like, catch me on a flight. I'm coming to you, Manny. I need some biscuits
yeah,
and
come
gravy.
on.
Like, I was so hungry reading this. So yeah, thank you so much, Rex, for being here. This has been so much
My
fun.
pleasure. I think I just realized that y'all are recording me visually, which is I was like, I would have had the book too. It's just it's way over there.
You're great. We have it.
We have
We can
it.
own it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you for
We will
being
talk
here. This has been
soon.
so fun.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
All
All right.
righty. Have a
Well,
good one.
okay,
Bye.
bye. I
Bye.
am obsessed with him.
Love him. That was
My
so
face
much
hurts
fun.
so bad.
That was so much fun. I.
He's got such good energy.
He does. I like am trying really desperately right now to remember because he was at Y'all West and he was part of SmackDown and I can't remember what he did, but
Oh,
it
yeah.
was during one of those it was like the like not trope battle, but like they gave two authors you had to defend one thing or the other.
Yes.
You remember? I
Oh,
forget what his
gosh.
was, but I remember it
I
being
remember it being
funny.
wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just
I just can't
like
remember the topic.
XYZ. Okay, that's it. And that was it. And
Yeah.
like and just kept going and it was so funny. But
Gosh, I wish I'd recorded the whole thing.
me too, my God. But oh, so much fun. I love him. I love him.
Yes.
Such a blast.
You guys are
Yay.
going to be hearing a lot of Rex on the podcast because we just want to have him back and talk to him some more.
100%. My God, that was so much fun. Okay, I think it's
Okay.
time for an announcement, right?
Yes.
All right, so next week we are talking to Heather M. Herman. Yes. I was like,
Words are
what's the
hard.
initial? Lady or the Tiger. I'm very excited. I feel like cowboys, like Western things are really in right now. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good time to be talking about a book like this. So I'm so excited. It's gonna be so much fun. Yay. Time for a spiel? Is that where we're
My
at?
goodness, how quick are we?
Look at us go. Okay, friends, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can probably also stream all of our episodes, we're hoping, as well as read our blog. I'm trying to be better. I've written two reviews. Like,
I'm not even trying to be better. I want to be better.
I
I
just,
want to be better about
yeah.
writing reviews.
I am just like, I'm reading so much. I should be like actually taking time to write things. And so I'm trying. There are two new ones this year.
I wish they would make AI that just took the thoughts in my head and made it into a cohesive review.
Right.
That AI I would be okay with, where it's just my thoughts.
And the energy comes
Spit
from
out.
you. Like,
The
it
energy
doesn't
comes
come,
from me,
yeah, from
not
any.
wasting thousands of tons of water,
Exactly.
just knowing that what I would say about the book I just read and it appearing.
That, and also if you could download the book that I'm writing onto
Yes.
paper, that would be
Yeah,
great.
the movie I'm watching in my head,
Right.
write it
Like,
in the
I would
book in
like
the
other
format that I would
people.
make it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My again, my energy, not
Right.
the
It
world's.
comes from within. Comes from within.
I could just lay for an hour and just think my
No, like
chapters.
I would just take it from me when I'm sleeping. I'm not doing anything
Yeah.
anyways. Like, it's
Yeah.
all running there anyways, so like just take it. Yeah.
Why couldn't we have been born with the brains of inventors?
I said that to somebody. I forgot who it was. It might have been Rebecca, and I said that to them, and I was and they were like, this feels like a Black Mirror episode. And I'm like, wait, does that mean somebody can somebody be working on that
Please,
then?
somebody help us.
Please. Like, I'm in, please.
Hours upon hours every day of typing. I
My
can't.
God. My
My little
God.
fingers are tired.
My little fingies. All right. If you would like to watch our incoherent nonsense, it's real fun too. You can subscribe to our Patreon because you will get early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and some bonus content, which is always super fun as well. And the other thing you can do to help support us financially, as we are traveling through lots of nonsense on the back end here, is to shop our merch store. Theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. Mandy made lots of cute stuff, and you should go buy it because it's super cute.
Represent us. Come on, we're fun.
We're super fun.
We're cool.
Imagine if you're just wearing an Incoherent Fangirl t-shirt and people are like, wait, what's that? That sounds interesting. And then you get to be one of the cool kids and tell them about your two
Their
besties on
new
the internet.
favorite obsession on the internet. My husband wears his fictional boyfriend of the week shirt.
Yeah. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So go shop. Do it. Perfect time. Right
Yeah.
before the holidays. Come on, guys. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of
We'll accept
that
it.
in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And of course, a free way to support the podcast is to rate and review wherever you are listening to us. Please give us your words. We love words. We
Yes,
want
we
all of
like the
them.
words. We're
Pretty
word
please.
people.
Thank you so much. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you're gonna head over and do some internet shopping with our internet besties because it is tis the damn season to start
Yeah.
preparing for the damn season.
Yeah.
First stop, Herecomesthenerd.com. You're going to get all your cute pins and artsy goodies. Add code FANGIRL to your cart and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe. You can just buy some random one-off goodies. We have two codes that you can choose from. They don't stack, but we'll love you no matter which one you choose. You're going to use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. But you have to make sure you spell Karen right or we're not going to share any of Mama's dinner with you.
Yeah, no.
I would not want to miss out on that.
Honestly, though, I probably won't share it with you anyways.
Fair.
I like food. We'll send you to the Institute.
Oh, shit. You can sit to the Institute.
I'm very, very strict about my name, guys. Okay.
Yeah. You can sit to the Institute. You better watch out.
Somebody who will not get sent to the Institute because I would be lost without her. Amber D. Lewis. We love her. You love her, obviously. So yes. What you need to do is go to her website, amberdlewis.com. Get 10 of everything from the store into your cart, add code FANGIRL10, and then you'll get 10% off the entire cart, and you've gotten one of everything for free. Like, what better deal is that, guys?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Be so for real. Do it. Yeah. And last but not least, you can support my whole family. We'll support this show, husband, by following at Borna Josh on all the things. The Searchers podcast. So at Searchers podcast on all the things. That's my other podcast with him and his business partner. At Searchers Believe is their paranormal investigation group. If you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop, you'll find some merch designed by yours truly. And if you use code FANGIRL10 there, you'll get 10% off. And then we also have Stream Beacon TV. It is our paranormal, horror, true crime streaming service that when we're recording, supposedly tomorrow, the Daily Mail article is coming out about what I told you guys last week, Jack Osborne. So you should be able to Google now and see that I'm not lying. I wasn't making it up. This thing I've been teasing forever, that we have a show coming with Jack Osborne. I should be flying the beginning of October-ish. Still no firm dates to record our podcast with him. It's a fun time. So you're going to want to be subscribed to Beacon. You go to streambeacontv.com. And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your subscription. And last but not least, I know you want to buy my book. It's The Living and the Dead. It's about a dead girl and a reaper who would die to get her to look at him. And it's Yearny. And it's got a really fun girl gang. And I love it. And if you go to aepurvis.com and buy any of this stuff and you use code Aaron Warner, you'll get 10% off. I could have done Fangirl 10, but I would not be myself if I didn't make something about Aaron Warner.
That's so valid. So yes. True. And I want y'all to stay tuned because later in this, at the end of the season, there may or may not be something that I am planning as a surprise for Miss Mandy here. She has no idea what's going on. I've made request of her and told her you are not allowed to ask questions. To
mind my damn business.
I just need you to do these things for me, pretty please.
She's like, do what I want.
You'll
know one day.
There are literally three people in the world who know exactly what's happening, and I am one of them. So it's going to be really exciting.
I'm excited.
It's going to be great. It's going to be such a fun thing to bring the living and the dead into this world.
My baby that I birthed.
Your baby that you birthed out of your brain.
Out of my brain. All of these words. I wrote them all.
You did it.
I do that a lot. I just flip through it and I'm like, every single paragraph. That's me. I was really telling Josh earlier, like, you know how people are like, did you ever think when you were 10 that you would? Yes. If you went back and told my 10-year-old self I wrote a book, she'd be like, yes. Like, I can't believe that it's done. And like, I'm like amazed that I like followed through, but like, I'm not surprised that I wrote a book either. I used to write, it's in the acknowledgments too. My two best friends in middle school and I would get together like every weekend and we would write long stories about the guys from O-Town, NSYNC, Freddie Prinze Jr. falling in love with us.
I love it.
So.
I was just cleaning the other day and I was going through, there was this bag of like old notebooks and like binders and things, and I was going through it and I was like reading through to see if there was anything that was like actually relevant to today or if I could just toss it all. And I found like old stories that I had written. Like they weren't long. They were like beginnings of stories. So it wasn't like
Yeah.
I hadn't gone anywhere with it, but
But
I was like reading it.
still.
I was like, oh, I was supposed to do this. Like, this
Yes,
is something that I wanted to do.
exactly.
I will say though, teenage Karen was not at all prepared or not at all interested in her own culture. Because why am I out here writing white women? Why? Why? What was I
Yeah.
doing? What was I
You
doing?
could do
I was,
better.
yeah. And that, this goes back to that book that I was telling you about last week, by CC Tien, where like the younger sister was very much just trying to fit in and like be close to whiteness. I feel like that's direct exact mirror of me at that
Yeah.
age. Like, and here's the proof of it. Like, why am I trying to write a story about a white woman? I shouldn't be. Like,
No.
absolutely not.
You can do so much better.
I'm disappointed in me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it was really cool to be able to see like, oh no,
Oh.
I was trying to do this. Like,
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's something that is present now and not then, because
And your daughter will never have to grow up in a world that doesn't have
Yes.
heroines that look like her.
Yes. Yes, it's very nice.
Even
It's
if
very
you
nice.
did, your girl will never have to.
Yeah, and I think that's also like definitely part of it where I was just like, well, that's all I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's
So
what I know. This is what people want.
that's all that can exist.
Yeah,
And
this is what people want, and that's it. And now, like, it's not
it's
that
like
world anymore. So that is a good positive.
that, and also it's like I'm so much like more knowledgeable about it now. You know, like
Yeah.
as a teenager, I was not gonna research how you get a book published.
No.
I was just gonna write and be like, okay, give me my
It's done.
monies. It's done. Like,
Yeah.
it never would have been a thing that I would have done. And so now it's like, this is the time when it's supposed to happen. Isn't life crazy that way?
It's wild.
It's a good time.
You
All
have to
right.
get to school.
I do have to go get to school. That sounds so
That.
funny out of
Yeah.
context, but I do. I'm going to school. Bye, guys. That was
That was the
the
incoherent
incoherent fan
thing,
girl.
girl.
Thanks for
Thank
listening. We love
you. We love
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.